Amen. I didn't really know I preached on him and about him. Amen. Well, we enjoyed the good meeting today, and thank you, men, for sharing the Word of God with us as the Lord's impressed your heart with it. I wish I had a good New Year's Day sermon today. I got a probably a 1948 sermon for you, I guess, today. Amen. I want you to open the Bible, the book of Exodus, if you will. Exodus chapter 15, 16, and 17. We'll read all those chapters. Yeah, sure I am. I was thinking a while ago, Matt singing that song. Years ago, I don't know how long it's been a long, long time ago, I was preaching over in Cunningham, Kentucky. And my son was in that meeting. And, of course, most of y'all don't know my son, Andy. He pastors out in North Carolina, out in Monroe, North Carolina. And my opinion, and for whatever it's worth, he's made a great preacher. Amen. And he's doing a great work for the Lord. Yes, I remember preaching that meeting. I preached on dead men don't smell roses. That was the message I preached. Dead men don't smell roses. And basically, the idea was, you know, if somebody's been a blessing, somebody's been a help, then you need to let them know. Amen. You know, saying it at their funeral won't really help them. It won't really. And Andy said God got a hold of his heart at that meeting. And he said he determined in that meeting that he was going to live that kind of life.
Amen.
And he told me that when he was, he was my assistant for a long time, and he went out there to pastor that church, and he told me, he said, Daddy, it was nothing unusual for me to spend 4 and 5 hours a day on the phone with men I had befriended that needed help. And he knows more people than you ever dream.
Yes,
that he knows. And he does a good work for the Lord.
Amen.
So anyway, I just thought about that, Matt. So dead men don't smell roses. Amen. So thank you for giving us one. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to read from three passages of Scripture today. And I want you to follow with me. And it will be, I don't even know if I'm supposed to call myself evangelist or not. And I don't know if I'm supposed to call myself a preacher or not sometimes. But I'm going to do a study with you today. And if you'll help me, I will anyway. And I want to do it a very strange one, I guess, for a meeting like this. But are you in Exodus? All right, we're going to look at verse 15, chapter 15 first. All right, look, if you would, at verse number 23 through 25. Exodus 15, 23 through 25. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now let's go to chapter 16, if you would, and I want to begin a reading verse number 2 again in chapter number 16. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather at a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now let's go to chapter 17. Now read the first six verses in chapter number 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the children, the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now I want to pray with you, and then we'll study a little bit of this. Father, I want to come to you now, and we'll ask you that, Lord, you would have mercy upon us today. That, Lord, that we may be able to express the things that you worked in our heart and do it in a way that, Lord, would be helpful and would be strength to somebody. Pray that, Lord, you'd bless our hearts now. Thank you for these men that have given their heart to us today. And I pray that, Lord, you'd bless those that hadn't had a chance to preach today. Help them. And, Lord, the other members of this fellowship, I want to pray for them, that you'd help them. And, Lord, you know the needs of each one. So I would ask you to work so your name can be honored and glorified. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, these three passages I've read to you, if I understand correctly, these are the first three times the word murmur or murmured is used in the scripture. Now, it's not the first time that murmuring took place, but it's the first time that murmuring is mentioned by name in the Word of God. And so I want to use this today, and I want to talk about the cure for murmuring. And what you I don't know if you saw this or not, but actually, in these three examples of murmuring, God actually gives the answer for murmuring right in these three cases of murmuring. So what is murmuring? Well, let me just give you a definition. I don't know how I come up with this, but I got it anyway. So here's what I define murmuring as. It is an outward expression of a deep inward discontent. Nothing getting through. It is an outward expression of a deep inward discontent. And it said, or a rejection of one's circumstances. Now, did y'all hear that? So murmuring often occurs whenever we don't like the circumstances we happen to be in. Amen. Or if there's something that eats away at us. Y'all, you ever had anything that, you ever had anything just eat away at you, and you know you want to step on it and squash it early, but God wouldn't let you. It just keep eating away at you, you know. Well, so that's outward expression, that inward discontent. Now, just briefly, just a few examples here. So in the Old Testament, I saw this, and maybe you can see it, maybe not. But Cain was one of the first murmurers. He didn't, now matter of fact, the word doesn't record anything that Cain said about in murmuring. But his actions proved he was highly discontent with God not accepting his offer. And so his brother's blood crying from the ground was an example. I thought about Lot's herdmen. Were they not murmuring? I mean, Lot and Abraham are together, and yet Lot's herdmen, and you know, I mean, they didn't advertise it, but they were doing it out there in the field. The herdman of Lot was arguing and murmuring with the herdman of Abraham. And then there's Joseph's brethren. Oh, weren't they sweet men? I tell you, I'm glad I didn't have brothers like them. Amen. That would have been glad to sold me into slavery. But nevertheless, the Bible said their daddy made him a coat, you know, and he was the favorite son. And the Bible said they could not even speak peaceably to him. Can you imagine that? So you know good and well, with an attitude like that, you know when the ears are not listening and nobody's looking, you know they're murmuring about that. As a matter of fact, is that not what they said about him in a way when he went down to check on them down in Dothan? And they said, here comes that dreamer. Well, that was, they've been saying that about him the whole time. Maybe not in his face, but the men murmured about him. Then when the Israelites are in Egypt and they're getting ready to get out of Egypt, they murmured about the, you know, the hard bondage. And then during the Exodus, neighbor, they very soon started murmuring after they left Egypt. Murmuring started surfacing. So let me ask you this question now. Does murmuring please God? Is God just so thrilled about me opening my mouth and then creating a murmuring thing? You reckon God's happy about that? Well, does God deal with things he's not happy about? All right, so then the question is this. So how does God deal with murmuring? Well, I want to show you a couple of things here and I'll move on. So number one, here's what I saw. The first thing that God does about murmuring. How does he do it? Now, are y'all listening to me? Did you pay good attention to those verses that we read, chapter 15, chapter 16? They're murmuring about bitter water. They're murmuring about no bread. And they're murmuring about no water. Remember that? So I'm going to ask you this. Did you notice that when we read those passages, God never said a negative word to them? There was not a negative word said to them, and they were murmuring against Moses about the conditions that they had. But God never said one negative word about it. Well, then that must mean that God is not really all that upset about murmuring. No, what God was doing is showing his first stage in his managing of murmuring. And that is called long-suffering. Amen. Did y'all hear that? Yes. Say, yeah, Brother Wells, is God, yes, you know God's long-suffering. Yes. Matter of fact, if you're a parent, you know something, unless you're a perverted parent, you know something about when your children are coming along. You don't deal with them with a full load of discipline when they're 1, 2, you know, and they're just learning. But you deal with them with much long suffering. And that's how God was dealing with their murmuring here, is by long suffering. But does God just overlook murmuring forever and ever? Is that what he does? Can I say this? Now I saw this in my thinking, that God not only manages this murmuring by his long suffering, but by self-judgment. Did y'all hear that? Is it not God's character to always give a space of grace and a period of mercy for us so we can correct the things that are wrong in our life? Does God not do that? So does God not do that in our murmuring? I mean, whenever I have, and you say, well, I never have murmured, and you probably never had lied, right? Amen. And so every one of us, no matter who we are, at some point or another, we've opened our mouth and grumbled and growled and murmured along the way. Well, aren't you glad that God didn't just decide at that moment to let the lightning strike where you were standing? Wasn't that good? That God, and here's what God does. He gives me an opportunity to self-examine myself and judge me. Now, is that Richard? Yeah. Did not the Bible say, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged? Did the Lord not say that? Y'all don't know? Yes, he did. The Lord said that. So what God does, he has this long suffering, then he allows me to have a period of space, we'll call grace, to judge myself and to correct my issues. Amen. And then, so let me say this now. So here's what God also does. Now, if I should be one of those characters that decide to abuse the long suffering of God, if I decide to abuse God's mercy, I decide to abuse his long suffering, his space of grace, then what's God going to do? He'll do the same thing he did for Israel. He'll step in some way or another, and he will deal with my murmuring. Y'all believe that? Yes, he will. Here's what the Bible said. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So God gives me a space in my life in which I can judge myself, I can correct my issues without judgment. But if I continue to ignore God as a principle of chastening and scourging that God institutes in the life of a believer, they will not do what God's asking them to do after a period of long suffering and mercy. Y'all believe that? Well, if you don't, I'll tell you what I encourage you to do. If you don't believe that, I encourage you to keep living with the Lord and doing it your own way. And then it won't be long till you will be a full persuaded believer that this is how God deals with his children. So now let's look at this again. And I want to show you a couple of things and move along quickly as I can. So what causes murmuring? These three cases that we may mention here, and I'll give you a couple more, but they illustrate what causes murmuring. So, pardon me if I cough. So in the first case, they've got a problem with water. Is that right? Now, did y'all notice in that passage, the Bible said the water was bitter. It did not say the water was poisonous. The water wasn't poisonous. The water was bitter. Now, here's what caused that murmuring. It was their taste had been offended. That's really right. See, they could have survived on the bitter water. But it wasn't suitable to their taste. Are y'all listening now? So let me ask you this. So have you ever had some things that came up in your life that was not suitable to your taste? Amen. And so you were really interested in changing the taste buds pretty quick, right? You know, getting things different. So here's what I'm saying. Sometime we'll be moving along in life. And things will not develop according to our tastefulness in life. We'd rather it would be something else. Y'all listen to me now. Well, I can't take time to tell you everything I'm thinking. So let me move on. So the second thing we saw is this. So the second time they murmured, they were, I guess, out of food. Now, it probably took them about a month and a half, nearly 2 months, to run out of the food supplies they had, or either they ran out or they ran low. Are y'all with me now? So here's what that says. That says that their table got offended. Now, I just use that for outline's sake, but here's what I'm really meaning. It means that their daily necessities got in jeopardy. Right. Are you now? So when the foodstuffs became low and they were out, so now then they start the murmuring, right? So now you say, well, Brother Wes, how's that apply? Well, here's what happens. See, when God let them get low on food, they've got to have somebody to blame. They've got to have somebody to complain about. And so they start murmuring against Moses because the food had run low. Right. So what do I do and what have I done whenever my necessities have run low? Now, I'll just be honest with you. My necessities have not run low in a long, 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 long time. But I remember when McDonald's was 15 cents a burger and I didn't have the money to buy it. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I remember those days when I didn't have money to buy it. And so, and here's what happened. So if the necessities got low, we would find somebody to murmur about. So God said, this is what happens. When your taste is offended, when your table is offended, then what happens is it sometimes creates a murmuring in the heart. But now look here now. So what was the third thing? The third thing was this. See, they ran out of water, right? So the Bible said that they were thirsty. So now God, they complain about it. So God, you know the story. God's going to show them, give Abraham, Moses, the privilege of smiting the rock and water's going to come out. So here's what happened now. So whenever the thirst gets offended, so they start murmuring. Are y'all with me now?
Yes, sir.
So have you ever wanted anything just desperately bad? Y'all remember? Have you ever seen anything you ever wanted that was just so bad? I mean, it consumed your thinking and God wouldn't give it to you. And you might not be like Brother Miles who said, I just figured God didn't want me to have it. Sometimes when God doesn't give you what you're thirsting for, it's not a matter, well, I must not have needed it. It's a matter of, why didn't you let me have that? So what happens is when the things that we thirst for and the thing, let me put this in the ministry perspective. So I'm wanting God to give me a new building. I'm wanting God to give me a bigger ministry. And instead of a bigger ministry, it decreases and goes down. And I'm saying, why did you do this?
Yeah.
You know, we had a case one time when I was pastoring. Well, I mean, we desperately needed some people in our church. I mean, we really did. So one Wednesday night, we had services, and there was a lady visiting that night. And when she came in and God dealt with her, she come to the altar and God saved her and birthed her in the family of God.
Amen.
I said, hallelujah. We're on the way up now. God's fixing to really turn this thing around. You know what? Now, I don't know how you pastor. You just have to decide that for yourself. But I know how I pastored. And I pastored with a strictness. That's how we pastored. And so somebody she worked with said this, oh, you don't want to go over there. They tell you how to live and how to dress and all that stuff. You don't want to go over there. And you know what she did? She came back 2 or 3 weeks and she went to a Southern Baptist church on the other side of town where nothing was stood for, nothing was stood against. You remember? And I said, Lord, what are you doing to me? Y'all surely ain't never done that. But I said, Lord, what are you doing to me? You know what I'm really doing? I have the outward expression of a discontentment in my heart. You know why? Because the things I was thirsting for at that moment, God wouldn't give it to me. You ever thirsted for something like that? Well, you can do your own thinking about that. So this is some ways they come back. Now, let me show you a couple of things right quickly, and then I'll move along. So in Numbers 33, here's in Numbers 13, 33, here's what happened. So they're at Kadesh Barnea, right? Right? So the 10 spies go out, and they view the land, right? So when they come back, here's what they do. They say, you know, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. There's giants everywhere. All their cities are walled up high. Oh, we can't take that land. Now, wait a minute, I want you to think about this now. And so they murmured on that day a serious murmuring.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to think about this now. So why did they murmur? Because of the giants? Don't think now. Here's what I think happened. See, they had been believing the word of Moses that God was going to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. So now their trust had become offended. Are y'all hearing that? See, sometimes, and I've seen this a long time in my life, sometimes there are things you're believing God for, you're trusting God for, you want God to do for you, and it's not a wrong thing. But God does not seem like he wants to give you. Let me give you an illustration. So I'm a young preacher. Well, I was a young preacher. So I remember by the way, days are still skimpy. I mean, money's still skimpy. I bought a pair of shoes at a leather shop that this guy had resold them, polished them up. They were used shoes. I bought them. And I really loved them. They were the best shoes I believe I ever wore in my life. So I wore them down to where there was holes in the bottom of it. So I'm thinking that my faith has grown enough now that I can ask God for a pair of shoes and God's going to give me a brand new pair of shoes. So I'm saying, you know, the prayer, God, this is, well, just look, God, see that, well, you know, and I need a pair of shoes. And so God would not give me a pair of shoes. You say, surely, yeah, that's right. God wouldn't give it to me. So I said, Lord, why? He said, in the way God speaks, go get them resold. So I went and got them resold. And I wore them for quite a while. Then, as God let me grow, I'm asking myself, now, Lord, why didn't you do that? Here's why I didn't do that, Larry. Because if I'd have done that at your maturity level, you would have become haughty and arrogant and acted like you're more spiritual than what you are. So what God did was, God offended my trust. Has God ever offended your trust? Yeah, and if you're not careful, when God offends your trust, you'll start murmuring against God. Now, let me show you one of the things. Well, you won't have turned, but I'll tell you what it is. Number 16. You remember Korah? Remember that story? Now, look here. So, did not Korah and Abiram and Dathan and all that crowd, did they not murmur against Moses? So, why? Why are they murmuring? Here's why. Because their ego and their goals and their target in life had been offended. Now, see, Korah wanted to be a bigger shot than what he was. That's right. And all those 250 elders that gathered with him, they wanted to be a bigger shot than what they were. So their target was, I'm a little shot, I want to be a bigger shot. And so it turned out they started murmuring against Moses. And you know the story, don't you? I mean, you know, the ground, you know the story. But here's what I'm saying. Have you ever had a target in your life, a goal, a dream? Who said the dream? Have you ever had a target or goal and you wanted to see God do something, but God just would not do it for you? And I'm not talking about this church. It could be in the home, in the family. And that target, that goal you've got, don't pan out. And the first thing you know, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself murmuring about, God, that was not evil. That was not ungodly what I wanted. And why don't you see fit to allow me to reach some of those areas? And here's what will happen sometime. If we don't reach our goal with God's blessing, we'll find a way to try to reach it in human ingenuity rather than God's plan and power. So this is some of the reason that murmuring occurs. So notice this now. Let me touch this quickly and move along. So when murmuring starts, what does the course it takes? When murmuring starts, does it have a kind of a specified course in which it takes? Yeah. By a matter of fact, did you know in every one of those cases, in a matter of fact, nearly all the cases in the Exodus books that cover that, here's what it said. And they murmured against Moses and Aaron. So, see, when murmuring starts, you've got to have somebody to blame it on. You're hearing that out. Somebody, you know, you cannot possibly be responsible for this. And so, you've got to have somebody to blame it on. So, who is the most logical object to blame it on? It's the leader. So here's what happens. See, when murmuring starts, the course of this is it attacks leadership. Are y'all hearing me now? So, and some of y'all guys have been pastoring long enough to know that. You get somebody in the church that's got a grievance and they got a murmur in their heart and they don't go attack the widows and the orphans. No, they find the leadership. See, yeah, it's the leadership that has to be attacked whenever the murmuring starts. So they said, Moses, you're to blame for all that. So what they do is they start attacking, you know, the leaders. But now let me move on. Here's something else they attack. They attack God's motives. Are y'all hearing me? So here's what they said. That, and by the way, when they're saying, Moses, you and Aaron, they're really saying God is what they're doing. See, so they're not murmuring against this Moses, but they're really using Moses and Aaron's name there. But the murmur actually is directed toward God. So they said, you, God. Now, they didn't say God, but they're really saying, God, you're the one that brought us out here to kill us in this desert. Yep. What they're doing? They're attacking God's motive.
Yeah.
Y'all remember? Now, what was God's motive for them? Was God's really motive really for that? Well, you know God's motive wasn't for that. God's motive was to elevate them. God's motive was to encamp with them. Did God not say, I want you to build a tabernacle and set your camps up like this because I want to encamp with you. I want to dwell with you. Is that not what God said? So God's desire was to dwell with them, enable them, to give them strength, give them His presence. That was God's real motive. But they said, your motive is to kill us. So they attacked the motives of God. And so they attacked God's leadership. They attacked God's motives for them. And then, can I say this? They also attacked God's long suffering. Notice that if you got your Bible still open, chapter 17. Notice what Moses said. He said, wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And here's what they're doing. They are, without even knowing it, they are attacking God's long suffering. Y'all hearing that now? When my murmuring starts, look here, I'm an old man. I ought to know better than murmuring. Y'all listen to me now. Y'all are adult men and adult women, most of you here. You ought to know better than to murmur. But we murmur anyway. Do you not understand when that murmuring starts that you're challenging God's long suffering? Are y'all hearing that today? You're really challenging the long suffering of God. Now, so we could talk about that a little while, but let me move on and say a couple more things here, and then I'll be out of the way. So, what are the consequences of it? Well, I'm not going to give you all that. You probably know that. Displeasure of God, God departs from. Yeah. Hey, look here. Look here. God said, I am not going with y'all. I'll send my angel, but I'm not going with you. You know what that did? That didn't mean they weren't God's people, but it meant God took His manifested presence away from them. Are y'all hearing that today? When I start murmuring and growling against God, God's not going to sit there and say, Brother Larry, I'm so proud of you. No. He is going to withdraw His presence from me. It's not that I'm lost, but He's going to withdraw His manifested presence from my life. And then when I get up to preach now, it'd be like, where are you, God? When I go to testify, it's going to be like, I give this sinner tract and the sinner mocks me and I've got no answers for it. You know why? Because the presence of God has pulled out. So that's just some of the consequences of murmuring. But let me show you this and I'm done. So how did God handle it now? You remember I told you earlier that all through these illustrations, God never gave a negative word. Now that don't mean that He continued that process. But it means that in the early stages here, He's trying to teach them about God's long suffering. So notice this, if you would. Not a single word at the bitter water at Marah, not a word about man, with giving a manna, Not a word, an Abraham, when Moses smote the rock. Not a negative word. So now, what's God doing here? The way he handled murmuring in each of those cases, are y'all hearing me now? Is the same way he wants us to handle murmuring in our day. How can that be? How did the murmuring get handled when there was bitter water? Do you remember? God showed Moses a tree. Is that right?
That's right.
Did the murmuring get handled by a tree? The murmuring was handled and silenced because a tree came into view.
Amen.
Y'all listen now.
Yes.
How did God handle the murmuring when there was no bread? He gave them manna.
Right.
Is manna a picture of Christ? Or do I feed on the manna?
Yes, sir.
How do I feed on the manna? I feed on the manna out of Scripture. I don't feed on the manna by a high level of emotion. That's not how I feed on the manna.
Right.
I feed on the manna by the Word of God and what God says in that Word.
Yes, sir.
Now, how did he handle the third one? When there was no water, he said, go before the people, take the elders with you, take the rod, and said, I will stand on the rock. Smite the rock. And out came a trickle. So what the book said. The book said that rivers run out of it. So what is water a picture of? Especially if it's moving. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit, is it not? So here's what God's showing us. In every one of those cases that murmurs involved, here is how you handle them. You handle them by keeping what Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. You keep that ever in the forefront of your heart and mind. You keep the cross before you. You keep what Christ did, how he died for you. And by the way, he said this, well, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. He said, I want you to always bear before you in your mind the cross of Christ, what he did for you, and that you're nothing on your own. You were in the gutter of sin. You were enemy of God. You deserve hell, and I picked you up and saved you. Yeah, praise God. So he's showing me. If I want to handle the murmuring, I've got to keep what Jesus did before me all the time. Then along with that, then the second time, there was no food. He gave them manna. So I need to be eating on something. And I don't do well by eating ashes or ragweeds, but I do well by eating the Word of God. I do well by putting that Word of God in my heart. I do well by reading that book, hiding that Word in my heart, feeding off that Word. I do well with that.
Right.
So he's saying, keep the cross before you and keep that Word of God. Say, well, I didn't get a chance to read my Bible today. I'll catch up next week. Oh, no. Why don't you practice that principle when your wife says, supper's ready? No, you're not going to do without meals. Why would you do without the Word of God one day?
Amen.
Why would you let one day go by without putting some of that Word in your heart? And by the way, I will tell you this. Y'all are old enough to know that a verse of the day don't keep the devil away. Y'all are old enough to know that, right?
Amen.
Yeah. So I've got to put that Word of God in. If I don't put that Word of God in me, first thing you know, I'll find myself murmuring and growling and murmuring against the Lord. And then the third time was this. When he smote the rock, rivers of water came out of that rock. Now what did the Lord say? Now listen, he said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So here's what I got to do. I've got to make sure that I'm keeping the Holy Spirit where he can work in my heart and life. If I grieve him, if I quench him, he's all, and by the way, are y'all listening now? I think you are. You know when you're doing what you're doing in the flesh and when the Holy Spirit's in it. You know the difference. You know the difference between whether it's you or whether it's your intellect, whether it's your ingenuity, whether it's your personality, or where it's the Holy Spirit. You must allow the Holy Spirit to work freely in your heart and life.
Amen.
And you say, well, that settled bourbon, as a matter of fact, it'll keep it from ever coming. It won't just settle. It'll keep it from ever surfacing in your life. Now, let me say something. Now, is that book not amazing? Really? Is that book not amazing? That thousands of years ago, what would that have been? Would that have been 4,000? 4,000 years ago? God, when he's bringing his children out of the land of Egypt, God showed us how to handle murmuring. 4,000 years ago.
Amen.
And here we are living in a wicked, ungodly society, in an ungodly world. And God showed us over 4,000 years ago how you can handle it today.
Amen.
Y'all see that? So keep feeding on that book.
Amen.
Keep that cross before you. Be sure to keep your heart and your life to where the Holy Spirit can work in you. And you'll find yourself not murmuring. I'm going to tell you something. I pastored one church for 40 years, and dear Brother Miles, is that my phone ringing?
No.
Good. Okay. That's a relief, ain't it? Brother Miles, I know what it's like to have one service and lose half your congregation in one service. And it was the money people that left. And God had to perform miracles to make our church survive.
Yes, sir.
And that I'm not there now. I've been gone about 10 years. But the church building God gave us is probably worth well in excess over $1 million right now. Well. And here's what I'm saying. Did I have a chance to murmur? Well, I sure did. Did I? Well, could I just tell you this? I'm willingly not recalling any examples. You understand? But I'll guarantee you my heart murmured some over those times. But see, I've learned, and I'm not saying I've got perfection, but I've learned that when those negative things pop up in your life, when they pop up, whether in the family or in the church, no matter where, when those negative things jump up and pop up, They want you to get your mind on them and get it off of Christ.
Yes, sir.
I've learned if I can somehow retract my mind to keep it on what Christ did at the cross and keep feeding on that word and let that precious Holy Spirit work in my life.
Amen.
I might be there for a minute or two, but I won't be there long.
Amen.
Amen. I won't be there long. The murmuring will soon be out of the picture.
Amen.
When I'm feasting on him. Amen.
Yes,
God. I'm done. Thank you for listening.